before you're seated tonight, shake hands with two or three people, smile just big as you can, praise God. Tell somebody you love them in the Lord, and bless somebody. Bless. Bless. Hallelujah. We've been given by the Word of God the authority to bless, not just to be blessed, but we're blessed in order to be blessings. And there's more to this than just God bless you, you know what I mean? There's a whole lot more to it than just sneezing or something. Whole lot more to it. Praise God. Very important that it become a reality in our lives. That the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord is everything to God. Everything to God. We're going to talk about that some more tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. As of 6 o'clock, registration stands at 6,644. 178 pastors, 146 ministries of churches, 44 states are here. Arkansas, are you here yet? Anybody here from Arkansas? Huh? Come on, if you here from Arkansas, call the hogs. Pig! Hey, get the man a registration card right over there. You ought to have registered already, Tracy. What's the matter with you? Glory to God. All right. 45 states. Iowa. New Hampshire. North Dakota. Rhode Island. South Dakota. Well, it ain't over till it's over. Praise God. 21 nations outside the United States. That's good, isn't it? I'm going to do it again tonight because it just thrills me. Gloria, as I told you earlier in the week, Gloria and I travel a lot. We've preached in countries and in the backside of countries, in and out, and some really strange places. But God's people are the same all over the world. I don't care what color they are, and I don't care what language they speak. They get to praising God, and I'm telling you, it's just a thrill to be wherever you are. There are no strangers or foreigners in the body of Christ. When I call your country, stand, remain standing. Australia, Indonesia, Nigeria, Bahamas, Jamaica, Oman, Barbados, Japan, Philippines, Brazil, Kenya, Republic of Singapore, Canada, Latvia, South Africa, East Timor, Mexico, Switzerland, Greece, Netherlands, Uganda, and the United Kingdom. God bless every one of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let me ask you this. Was it worth the trip? Yeah, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now then, on the internet, we have registered 13,107 and 1,033 on the Spanish internet. I told you that is going to grow, and it's more than double since I told you that. Praise the Lord. Amen. All 50 states are represented, plus Guam and Puerto Rico. And we're up to 70 nations now on the internet. You gotta love it, man. Antigua, Argentina, Australia, Austria, Bahamas, Barbados, Belarus, Belgium, Belize, Bermuda, Brazil, British Virgin Islands, Bulgaria, Canada, Chile, China, Colombia, Costa Rica, Cyprus, Czech Republic, Denmark, Dominican Republic, El Salvador, Finland, France, Germany, Ghana, Greece, Guatemala, Honduras, Hungary, India, Indonesia, Ireland, Israel, Italy, Jamaica, Japan, Kenya, Korea, Kuwait, Latvia, Malaysia, Mexico, Netherlands, New Zealand, Nicaragua, Nigeria, Norway, Panama, Papua New Guinea, Peru, Philippines, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Saudi Arabia, Singapore, South Africa, Spain, Sri Lanka, Sweden, Switzerland, Taiwan, Thailand, Uganda, United Arab Emirates, United Kingdom, Venezuela, and Vietnam. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the internet. And God bless all of you on the internet. You know what? Hey, you know what? That pushes the total registration right up there around 20,000. 6,664 plus 13,107. Yeah, that is 20,000, right? Just out there flirting with it. Praise God. Amen. Give the Lord a praise for that. That's outstanding, man. Woo. I like it. Let's receive our evening offering. Father, we thank you for tonight's offering. We bless it. We receive direction from you concerning our offering this evening. And I praise you and thank you for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and according to his words. When he says, anyone that gives for my sake and the gospel's shall receive in this life 100-fold and in the world to come eternal life. Didn't he say it? I said, didn't he say it? Well, we obey, Lord. We put that word in our mouth and we speak it. In the name of Jesus. You said it first, so we speak it after you, and we release our faith to receive 100-fold in our giving in order to continue to be generous and bountiful in the kingdom of God. And we thank you for it. We give you praise and thanksgiving for it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Open your Bibles with me to Luke's Gospel. I want to show you something here quickly. Chapter 5. It came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now here are people pressing in to hear the word of God. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now, these fishermen were not pressing in to hear the word of God. They were overhearing the word of God. They're working. They've worked all night long, and they're cleaning up their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Plural. Nets. Say it. Nets. Not net. Nets. You got it? All right. And Simon answering unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Net. Now stay with me now. Now Jesus operated at all times in the blessing of Abraham.
Yeah.
The scripture, Proverbs 10th chapter says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now take the time and run your scripture references, get your concordance, so forth out, and run your references on the word toil. And that's the word sorrow in Proverbs 10. Now, toiling for living was the first curse that came on man. That he would eat bread by the sweat of his brow. Folks, those days have been over for thousands of years for the people of God. Listen to the conversation. I make a living. I make money. I make deals. I'm a self-made man. Now that's the Babylonian system in operation. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh. Now, in fact, hold your place there and go over to the 73rd Psalm. Maybe, 73rd Psalm, verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. Now, how are they prospering? In the world. They're not prospering in God. The blessing of the Lord is not prospering there. They're prospering in the world. And they are prospering. But they're prospering in the world. They increase in riches. All right. Now, just go right on over to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 10. 22nd verse. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow. He adds no toil to it. There's no sorrow in it. Why would he? He bore our sorrows and carried our griefs. Now, these men, these fishermen, Peter was one of them. Peter owned half of the business, and he and Mr. Zebedee were partners in fishing business there, and Mr. Zebedee's two sons, John and James. Now they should have known, had they been preaching the blessing of Abraham in the synagogues instead of preaching the traditions of men and religion, they would have known better than what they were doing. But they're out there fishing just like the world. They're toiling. He said, we toiled all night long, didn't get anything. But I'll go out there. He didn't say, I'm going to act on your word because you're the son of God. He wasn't the son of God to him. He's a preacher. Rabbi. He called him rabbi. This King James says master. But he called him rabbi. He had respect for him. And now he's worked all night long. Didn't catch anything. He's a professional fisherman. On that lake, you don't fish in the daytime because it is... I mean, it's clear as bathwater, man. I mean, this thing is so clear that you throw a net and the fish see it before it ever hits the water and they just scatter. So you fish at night. But they still didn't catch anything. But what does a rabbi know about fishing? Well, most of them. Some of them do, some of them don't. But this one don't have to know about fishing. He knows about the blessing. He knows the fish. He don't know about the fish. He knows the fish. Now, Peter thinks he knows what's going to happen because of his experience. Jesus knows what's going to happen because it's been revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. Now, you can operate on either side. You can stay in the dark, and just go on your experience, or you can get over and be led by the Spirit of God just like he is. Amen.
Amen.
So now, I want you to notice what happened. Go back over there to Luke. Simon answering said to him, Master, we toiled all night, have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Just because you want to, I'll let down the net. Well, now, wait a minute. They were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Keep that in mind now. When they had this done, they included a great multitude of fishes, and the net, not nets, the net broke. Why? It was rotten. It was a throwaway net. We're not going to catch anything anyway. And I'm going to take this preacher out there and throw this thing a few times, satisfy his itch to fish, and show him, you know, a good time. And I'm going to get back and throw this old wore-out net back under the boat seat. I don't want to take that good net and throw it out there. I got to wash them again. I've been up all night long. Mama's got breakfast ready, and I'm headed to the house.
Come on.
Amen. Oh, but did he get a surprise? All the fish in the Galilee are around his boat, and he ain't got a net. Now, it's not because of the miracle that the net broke. Those nets were not made to break. There's other incidences in the Word of God, like in the Gospel of John. They caught so many fish, they couldn't move that net. But it didn't break. What about the other nets? These other folks came out there and filled all the boats, including Peter's. Why didn't their nets break? They saw what was happening and got the good nets. I don't care if you do have to wash them, but they can wait breakfast, man. Are you seeing what's happening here? Now, he knew better. Peter knew better than to offer a man of God a blemished offering. He knew better than that. He's Jewish. He knew better than that. That's what caused him. When they had this done, they enclosed a multitude of fish. Their net broke. They beckoned unto their partners, which from the other ship, that they should come and help them. They came and filled the ship so that they began to sink. Not a net broke. They got the good nets out again. But now Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord." He knew what he'd done. And it got him, you know. He got under conviction about it. Well, Jesus didn't say anything to him. He just standing there laughing. Why? He couldn't fall at Jesus' feet. His feet are covered up in fish. He fell at his knees. And the fish are slapping him in the face. And our poor old Peter, he didn't catch a fish. Biggest haul in the history of the Galilee. And he didn't catch not one. Depart from me. I've not done this. Man, I made a foolish sacrifice. I threw that blemished net out there trying to fool a man of God. And he got caught at it. In a good way, but he still got caught. And you know, Jesus is standing there smiling at him. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, and to catch of fishes which they had taken. And so also James and John, sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, don't let this scare you. From henceforth, you're going to be fishers of men. Amen. Can't you see the smile on his face? He's standing there laughing at Peter, getting slapped around by those fish. And Peter's all upset, man. He's hurting, you know. Amen. And the Lord just consoled him. But he still didn't get no fish. Got Jesus in his boat and didn't catch a fish. Up to his waist in fish. And he didn't get none. Why? His offering stunk. Now what's going on here? Toiling is fear-based. And it drove the fish away. But when the blessing was released, it drew the bounty to them. The blessing of the Lord, it made rich. And he added no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. Well, you don't think they ate all those fish, do you? You understand these are Jewish men in the fishing business? Man, the fish market was going, hallelujah, and people are doing well here. Why? Because the blessing of Abraham on Jesus was released. Why? He used the man's boat. There was a good offering there. Peter just didn't recognize what it was. But Jesus used his boat, and he agreed to it. And so, he just moved on out there and said, throw your nets. Well, he threw one, tore it all to pieces. He's screaming and hollering, get out of here, 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 quick. And they're charging out there and got in the middle of all those fish, and they started sinking the boats, man, with so many fish. Did they have to work all that hard? They weren't working, brother. They were fishing. Hallelujah. No, the toil was gone. Everybody got a smile on their face. It is harvest time on the Galilee. Hallelujah. You are the seed of Abraham. Through Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, you know some good news? Yeah. We are well over the budget. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Now, let me tell you how we don't ever come to town with a bunch of unpaid bills and just a hoping and a praying that the offering's good enough to pay them. No. We pay them up front. But all of the expenses, budget, and so forth, all of this meeting have been met, and we are well over it. Amen. Praise God. In fact, I don't mind telling you, we're $40,000 over the budget. Now, hey, this means we're getting into outreach now, Bubba. We're getting into TV time. We're getting into soul winning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And I don't know. Some people got the screwed up ideas of the way all these things function. They think we just go back there in the back and divide up the offering. Dear Lord, God. I've been accused of that. Well, I've been accused of a lot of other stuff I didn't do, too. Amen. But you guys, God bless you. You heard the voice of God. And tonight is a Thanksgiving offering. Tonight is a boat sinking load offering. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord is flowing. I make money. Or the blessing of the Lord, it maketh. It maketh. It maketh. Hallelujah. See, the world, Jesus talked about this. The world has the idea they have to be rich to be blessed. That's the reason the Gentiles seek after all these things. That's the only way they got to get them. But we're not blessed because we're rich. We're rich because we're blessed. We're not blessed because we're healed. We're healed because we're blessed. We're not. Hallelujah. See, it's just the other way from the way the world thinks. The blessing of the Lord is ours. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, some of you in the middle of the night will catch on to this one these night that we're not working for a living. We're on assignment. We are on assignment. Amen. We work for the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll pay you far more than you're worth. Amen. The blessing of the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added. Added. Amen. You can add to yourself with hard work. You can add to yourself by stealing. You can add to yourself by borrowing. Or through the blessing of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the way to do it. That is the way to do it. It makes a joy out of your work. What you're called to do. Because, you know, you can't hire me. Brother Cole, you mean you don't work? I didn't say that, dear Lord. No. I work. I'm on call 24 hours a day. The Lord called me this morning at 4:30. I said, sir, get up. I'm talk to you. Praise. I'm on call. Amen. But I'm well taken care of, too. Hallelujah. the devil's most horrible nightmare is a Holy Ghost baptized believing preacher with money enough to do what God's called him to do. And with a bunch of partners that'll stand with him and believe God, and we go as a team. Dear Lord, I'm telling you, he has no defense for that.
Come on.
He just flee from you. He just get on up. Amen. So, Father, we receive it, and we're blessed, and we thank you. And I'm asking you to reveal to your people now what you would have them do in this offering. We'll be obedient to it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. If you need an envelope for your giving, raise your hand. The ushers have them. Make sure. I said this earlier, but some of you, for some reason, didn't pay attention. Don't write in tongues. Print or help. Help us. We got other things to be praying about other than your name and address. Praise God. Amen. And ushers, go ahead and receive the offering after you pass out those envelopes. God bless you in your giving. And we're standing with you in the name of Jesus, the 10th chapter of Mark. Anyone that gives for my sake and the gospel shall receive in this life a hundredfold, and in the world to come eternal life. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless you in your giving. Come, children. Hallelujah. Well, give the Lord praise. Give him thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let me trade microphone. Got me all shook up. I'll tell you. I met her dad the night before I met her. He said, I got the best looking girl in the state of Arkansas, my daughter. I said, is that right? He said, I do. Went on a little while. I mean, this before I knew the Lord. I mean, I was lost as a goose in the hailstorm. And he came back over there in a little bit. He said, you don't believe me, do you? I said, yeah, I believe you. He said, my daughter's the best looking girl in the state of Arkansas. I said, yeah, I believe you. How are you getting to the airport in the morning? I was flying back the other day. And I said, I don't know. Taxi, I guess. I'm going to come by and pick you up. I said, okay. Told him where I was staying. I didn't figure I'd ever see him anymore. But the next morning, there came a knock on the door. I opened the door, and there he was. And his Gloria's mother... and Gloria. And I said, son. Yeah, I believe you. Glory to God. I fell in love with her right then. Right that minute. And I tell you, we've been on a 47-year honeymoon. Glory to God. God's been good. Did you bring your Bibles with you again tonight? Open them, please, to the book of Galatians. And I'm going to come down there where I can talk to you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. The word is blessed. Because of it, we're blessed. The word of the living God, the most high God, awesomeness is in our thinking concerning your word. This is the same word that created all material things and billions of miles of universe and galaxies and and more than the mind can conceive. But yet it's very precious to us and very personal to us. It is the word of our Heavenly Father. And the word says, you sent your word and healed us. And your word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus is his name. And how privileged we are. How blessed we are to be honored by the presence of your Holy Spirit in this place tonight. And so we pray for the opening of our eyes and our minds and our hearts to receive revelation from heaven. And Father, I'm asking you for the same anointing to deliver this word accurately and plainly, to be on the people to hear it equally as accurately and plainly. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us first, that we could love you with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our souls and strength. And thank you. I pray that not one person leave this auditorium or turn off a television or turn off the internet tonight untouched by the power of the living Almighty God, but to know you more intimately than they ever have. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians chapter 3. Very familiar scripture. We've read it many, many times. But we're going to be looking at it tonight from a little bit different viewpoint. And as it comes together and as the Lord reveals it to us and shows us insight and ideas and concepts of the kingdom of God that has been given us through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. As these things function and as they work in us, praise God. I'll tell you, you're going to be so excited by the time we get through with this thing. Amen. I know. I already am. I preached it to me earlier. I got excited about it. I was like Jesse. I was ready to receive an offering from myself. Amen. By my own tape, you know. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is really rich. You know, you and I are in the time of great revelation. Great revelation. These are the days of all things coming to pass. Everything God promised, it's coming to pass quickly. And it's a good thing to be right in the middle of it all. Praise the Lord. Our God's having a revival, and we're in it. Amen. Anybody can be in it that wants to. Galatians 3, let's begin reading with the 6th verse. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith. Are you of faith? Have you or do you live by faith, or you just talk about it? No, we live by faith, right? This is our way of life. Abraham believed God. We believe God. That's what faith is believing what God's already said and then acting on it as quickly as you would the word of a lawyer or a doctor or a highly trusted friend, praise God. Act on it. It is the truth. Yes, thank you, Lord. I do need to say this. Before we get any further, this needs to be in the forefront of your and my thinking all the time. This is not a religious book. No, amen. It has had religions made from it. Many of them. Many of them. God, well, let me say this. Christianity is not a religion. There's all kinds of Christianism. But Christianity is Almighty God and His family, both in heaven and in earth. And this book is an accounting of two blood covenants. The second one, or what we know as the New Covenant, was sworn by Almighty God in the living blood of Jesus. This is a blood covenant. It is a blood sworn oath. Amen. And you just need to remember that all the time. We have a covenant with God. This covenant is between God the Father and the resurrected, glorified, therefore immortal, Jesus, the Son of God. The covenant is between the Father and the Son. And you and I are partakers in the covenant in Jesus. You can't break this covenant. It's between God and Jesus. You can't break it. You can break your fellowship with it, but you can't break the covenant. It's unbreakable. It is forever, and it has no curse on it. Hallelujah. All glory now, I'm telling you. Now, hallelujah. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. Now let me stop here just for a moment. What is he? What's he talking about? We're talking about the Eden blessing. God created man. He planted a garden. He created a man and put him in it. And he blessed him, saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth, have dominion over it, and subdue it. The highest ranking authority ever released in the earth. Amen. The very power that God used to create all this. He put it on this man. It's called, in our language, in our English Bible, it's called the blessing. Well, we know what happened to it. Adam, he, sin came into the world, and death by sin. And the curse was released. Now, what was the first sin? Anybody know? Huh? No, I'm talking about in the Garden of Eden. What was the sin that stopped it? It was theft. He ate something that didn't belong to him. He picked that fruit out of season. He'd been told that it was God's. He'd been told not to eat it. He wasn't deceived. His wife was deceived, the scripture said, but he wasn't. He had his eyes wide open. He was standing right there with her, and he should have stopped it. But he didn't. That was his tithe. How do you think Cain and Abel found out about tithing? From their daddy. Well, what was the problem there? Well, of course, it was disobedience. But the sin was robbing God. Satan is a thief first. Jesus said he comes but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So He had to take care of that tree just like he did every other garden, every other tree in that garden. And he could eat of every other tree in the garden except that one. That belonged to God. Now, that didn't mean he would never, ever have anything to do with it. He never lasted long enough to find out. He took what was God's through disobedience. He took what was God's. That was his tithe. He had to work that tree. He was supposed to gather the fruit off of it and bring it to God. It was in the center of the garden. Had he brought it to God, God would have taught him and trained him and fed him that fruit of knowledge. He would have partaken of it with God. It was God's. It was not something he could never have. His wife said, we're not supposed to touch it. But ain't nobody told her that. She got it on. She got it mixed up. Adam hadn't done his job there either. Amen. So, he fed off that. Now, what happened? It disconnected him from God and connected him to a fallen angel. And instead of faith, now he's got fear. Instead of life, now he's got death. Instead of the blessing, now it's a curse. And the curse on this planet came out of Adam. It had been the blessing. But now that gives you an idea of how powerful the blessing was and is. But now you know God well enough to know he don't ever quit. My man, he didn't just stop and say, "Well, I guess, you know, well, I guess I just lost the whole deal." No, he immediately started his plan to get that blessing back. Amen. Get it back. Get it back on man as if he'd never sinned. How do we know it's the Eden blessing? All right, hold your place there in the book of Galatians. We're coming right back to this. But you look up in the book of Isaiah and look in the 51st chapter. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, to the hole of the pit which you are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, unto Sarah that bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, or his seed. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. This is the Eden covenant. God covenanted with a man to get the blessing back. Amen. 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 Now then, that's the basic fundamentals of it. Now let's go back over here to the book of Galatians. God blessed Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. After the flood. The scripture said, and God blessed Noah and his sons. And he said exactly the same thing that he said to Adam. So now the blessing is back. Amen? Oh yeah. It's back now on Noah and his sons. Well, Ham and Japheth did the same thing that Adam did. But Shem stayed with it. He stayed with God. He stayed with the blessing of the Lord. Ham and Japheth settled in. And instead of following out that blessing, they settled in and started building cities and created a system that was designed for man to meet his own needs without God. It's called Babylon. The word Babel means confusion. And I don't have time to go into the background of all of that, but God spoke one word, Babel, and confused their ability to control their imagination. And they got to a place where they could no longer function. And out of that eventually came all of the different languages of the different tribes of the earth. Now, go back here, Galatians 3. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Who is the heathen? Ham and Japheth. You got to be kin to one of the three. You either kin to Shem, Ham, or Japheth, or all three. Like me and Jesse. I mean, we kin to all of them somewhere or another. Amen. But you got to be kin to one of them. Well, Shem stayed with God. He stayed with the blessing. But God preached the gospel to Abraham saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. God is saying to him, I'm going to get Ham and Japheth back, and I'm going to do it through the line of Seth, and his name is Jesus. So let's read on down and see if that's what that says. In you shall all nations be blessed, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Blessed with what? That Eden power. That when released, I don't care what kind of environment it is, when faith activates it, that power, that blessing of Abraham, which goes all the way back to the garden. That blessing of Abraham was originally released to expand the Garden of Eden. We have the geographical boundaries of the Garden of Eden. It's approximately where Iraq is today. It wasn't the whole planet, but God planned for it to be the whole planet. But he didn't plan to do all the work. He created the garden, put the man in it, and gave him the blessing with which to expand that garden by faith, by the power of the blessing, until this planet was the garden spot of the universe. Amen. Now, and God tells you in his word what his plan was from there. God planned to move here. He still does. He's still coming. Amen. That's fine with me. Now then, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, let's come down to the 13th verse. Christ, the anointed one, has redeemed us. Say that word. Redeemed. Say it again. Redeemed. One more time, please. Redeemed. Oh, that has been a lot. I mean, that redemption, the redeemed and all, that's been kicked around. But tonight, you're going to leave here with a whole different idea about redeemed. Amen. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, we won't take time to turn over there, but in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now here you see those two laws brought into this scripture. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law of sin and death. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on Ham and Japheth, the Gentile, all the rest of us, through Christ Jesus. Whoa, hallelujah. I don't preach me happy, praise God. Amen. Now, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, or if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. We're the seed of Abraham. And we are heirs according to the promise, which is the blessing. All right. He has redeemed us. Go with me, please, to the book of Exodus. And look with me in the 8th chapter of Exodus. There was Abraham. Well, first Shem. Now, you remember after the slaughter of the kings, Melchizedek came to Abram and received his tithe and blessed him. You remember that? The high priest of the Most High God, and he came with bread and wine. He came with the representing the covenant of God. And Abraham had already entered into a basic covenant with God at that time. It was still developing. But he came with bread and wine. Because what he was about to say, without those elements, without this man, this Hebrew understood covenant. The Hebrew people cut covenant. And he's in covenant with God. Without these elements, what Melchizedek, was the high priest of God, was about to say to him, without representing blood, he'd had a hard time believing it. The word Melchizedek means the Lord Mayor of Jerusalem, as it was called Salem then, but it was Jerusalem. Melchizedek was Shem. And he came to Abram, the Most High Priest of God, and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God." Now, this is why he had to bring the blood and the bread, brother. Possessor of heaven and earth. You find it over in the 4th chapter of the book of Romans, don't you, Clarence? It's read over there. It said, Abraham did not become heir of the world except by faith. He believed that. He believed what the high priest of God said. Not only that, he knew who Melchizedek was. He was his kinfolk. He knew him. He may not have known him personally. I don't know. I haven't found that evidence in my research and study, but I did find out as Melchizedek, and I did find out that Abraham was his grandson, a couple of greats, great-greats or great down the line. So he knew who he was, absolutely. He's Melchizedek. And he's also founder of the school of the prophets. Blessed. Noah's son. And he transferred that blessing when he received Abram's tithe. Now you're back to the Garden of Eden. And I'll just jump ahead here a little bit and bless you with this son. You study this over in the book of Hebrews, and it says, think how great this man Melchizedek was, that God sent him as high priest to receive Abraham's tithe and to bless him. And then it goes on ahead and says that Jesus is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed he liveth. He has the same order to receive your tithe and bless you. With the blessing of Abraham, activated, anointed in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we've been monkeying around with religion and everything else. Have any idea what power we were dealing with all the time? I mean, man, this blessing was released in Jesus so that you and I could have this Garden of Eden creating force right on the inside of us. Now, don't you remember what happened to Joseph? I mean, God had this prophet born in this family. They're the seed of Abraham. But they got so wild, man. I mean, they got so far out in left field, there was no way any blessing work in that family. It belonged to them. God told them it did. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, he told them. Appeared to them and told them. They didn't have a book. I will bless you. I will perform the oath that I swore to your father, Abraham. Amen. Well, that's what he's doing today, is performing the oath. Hallelujah. You get on it in faith, just like Abraham did, and he'll perform it.
That's right.
He ain't going to perform a bunch of wishing, hooting around, bawling, squalling, bunch of wimpy baby kind of religion.
That's right.
He still performs the oath.
Amen.
It's just lives that ever was. And he don't ever change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you have a copy of it in your lap. You have a copy of both those covenants, both of them in blood. And the new covenant ratified the old one in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is blessed with no curse. Because he bore the curse. Hallelujah. So now, we are dealing with something here. Talk about Joseph. His brothers pull that stupid stunt they pull. God had a prophet born in their household and gave him a dream and then gave him a confirmation dream about it. And he was just a young boy. But he was excited about it. He knew it was from God. But the rest of them weren't all that excited about it. And they did their best to get rid of him. But the blessing was on him, and he wouldn't violate. He hung on to those dreams. That's the way you and I are supposed to hang on to the Word. He hung on to those dreams. He wouldn't violate them. I don't care if he went to prison. I don't care if the boss's wife made a hit on him. I don't care what they did. He was not going to violate that dream. He said, "How can I do this to your husband and my God? I'm not going to do it." And he wound up in prison. Well, let me ask you something. When he was sold to Potiphar, Potiphar was a field grade officer. He was a general class officer. And he was also a property owner. And he had cattle and he had land and so forth. Well, the blessing of the Lord was on Joseph. But now he's just a young boy. How did he know anything about running a ranch? He had never run anything. Well, the blessing taught him how to do it. The blessing of the Lord made him rich. Only his wealth came to the man that owned him. Amen. And this general just kept getting richer and richer. He got to the point where he had so much stuff, he didn't know what he had. He lost track of it. He finally turned it all over to Joseph. And then the man just, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And it's working in this young man. Well, then he winds up in prison on account of that crazy woman. And they put him in prison. What does he know about prison, man? He ain't never been in prison. But the blessing of the Lord taught him how to run a prison. And it went along until the whole prison was under his command. And the place was just running smooth, man. I mean, and he winds up assistant warden of a political prison. The blessing of the Lord, as it were. And he won't turn loose of those dreams. So, he winds up. You know the story. He wound up, Pharaoh dreamed a dream and wanted to know the answer to it, so they sent down there and got Joseph. He finally got out of penitentiary out of prison. It wasn't a penitentiary in those days. There wasn't no repent to it. So they went down there and got him, and he came up there, and they said, "We understand you understand dreams." He said, "Well, God understands them." And he just went ahead and said, "Well, tell me your dream." He had faith in God, and he had faith in the operation of that blessing. He full well planned on telling Pharaoh exactly what that meant. Now, God not only gave him the answer to the dream, he gave him the plan for the famine that was on its way. Now, wherever he went and whatever he did, The blessing was on him as long as he walked by faith and he refused to violate it. Regardless of what they did to him, he just stayed blessed and stayed in faith. Amen. And he had the two guys that came out of Pharaoh's staff that wound up in there with him, and they had dreams, and he interpreted their dream. And they're supposed to remember, you know, and tell Pharaoh about him. And somehow or another they forgot him, and he wound up in there 2 more years. Well, that'd make me mad, man. Man, see if I ever interpret one of your dumb dreams anymore. Got your job back and forgot about me. But no, he just kept on being blessed. He learned to have faith in that blessing. He, by this time, he knew it was on him. And by the time the famine part of that of Pharaoh's dream hit, he was 30 years old. Now, he wound up prime minister of Egypt. Not only that, before that famine was over with, he literally had in his hands, in his possession, now listen to me, he had all of the money in Egypt in his hands. Now, the money had failed. Didn't say it was worthless, but it had failed because there wasn't anything to buy. It was a famine, deep depression. Hard times. He also wound up with property deed to all of the land in Egypt. Now, it's on the plan that the blessing gave him that brought it to his hands. And the people sold themselves to him in bondage. He owned all the money, he owned all the land, and he actually owned all of the people in Egypt. My. Well, now, he didn't keep it. He gave it to Pharaoh. Made Pharaoh the richest man on the planet. Well, now, I said all this to get you to this place. Are you still listening to me now? A choice. Choice piece of property called Goshen that was given to him to live and to for his own possession and his own place. And that blessing came on that place called Goshen. Hallelujah. Now, have you found the book of Exodus yet? Chapter 8. Now, this is many, 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 many years later. And Israel did not have a hard time in Egypt until about the last 35 to 50 years because the Pharaohs remembered Joseph. Because of Joseph, Pharaohs were extremely wealthy. But now, they got this crazy Pharaoh in there, and he's mad and mean. So, in the 8th chapter now of the book of Exodus, let's look at verse 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning to stand before Pharaoh. He comes forth to the water and say to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon you and upon your servants, upon your people. Now, these not little house flies. You do some study on it. You don't want none of these in your house. I can guarantee you. Man, it's bad stuff. Upon your people, into your houses, the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground wherein they are. And I will sever, amen. I will divide, I will put a line in that day, the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. the blessing 400 years later is still on Goshen.
Amen. Amen.
And God said there's a wall there that those flies can't penetrate. Now, let's go over and look in the let's look in the ninth chapter. Verse 3, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon your cattle, which is in the field, upon your horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, on the oxen, on the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain, and the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel. Verse 6, the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. Not one. Now, you're beginning to get the picture. I want you to go back over here now into the eighth chapter, where he said, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, no swarms of flies will be there, to the end that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, and I will put a division between my people and your people, and tomorrow shall this be a sign. Now, do you have a cross-reference in your Bible like I do now? In my Bible, there's a little number out beside a division. Over here in the cross reference, it says a redemption. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. There is a law between the curse and the blessing. Now, why did God do that? Why did he put that there? Why was that blessing still that strong? Why did he do this in the first place? Would you like to know?
Yes.
Look in the sixth chapter. Well, Brother Copeland, all of that was just for the Jews. No, it was for the seed of Abraham. Judah was only one tribe. Amen. Verse chapter 6. The Lord said to Moses, now shall you see what I do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land, out of his land. And God spoke to Moses and said, I am the Lord. I am Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of El Shaddai, but my name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh was I not known to them. I have established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. I also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I remembered my covenant.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The covenant of Abraham.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the covenant. That wall belongs to you. It belongs to you more than it did them. Their covenant was in the blood of animals and in the blood of the skin of a man. But this covenant is in the precious blood of Jesus. My God, man. Woo! I done preached myself happy, praise. I found this out, Gloria, and I didn't have enough money to get out of sight. I mean it. Dear Lord. One suit. And I think I've told most of you about that ugly thing. You know, the Lord had taken a lot of weight off me. Because when we got saved, I weighed right at 240 then. And, I had one suit. And so by the time we got into this ministry there at Oil Roberts University, I was down under 200 pounds. And, of course, now I weigh 100 pounds less than I did then. There's a Mexican guy that kept altering my clothes. That one suit. I took it over there again. He said, "Brother Ken, I don't think I can alter that thing no more." I said, "Why, man?" He said, "I'll take them breeches up one more time. You have one big pocket right in the back." And he just about did. There wasn't but about an inch between my two hip pockets by the time he got through that. Oh, man, praise God. But I saw this then. Nowhere near in the depth that I have it now. But I saw it. That what God promised Abraham was mine. Through Christ Jesus. And this blessing belonged to me. I realized I'm a rich man now. I ain't got 20 cents. But I'm not a poor man trying to get something. I found out I'm already a rich man. I'm the seed of Abraham. I have the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. This ain't nothing but a matter of time and a matter of faith. Because those who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. My God, man. I mean, what is it about that you can't understand? You're going to have to get you one of them messed up religious Bibles. Genetically altered thing that Jesse was talking about. Full of religion. Well, yeah, now, Brother Copeland, that is just for the Jews. No, it wasn't. It was for the seed of Abraham, and the Jews are the seed of Abraham. But so am I!
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, what is that wall? What is that separation? Let's look in the fifth Psalm. Brother Jerry read this last night. Ooh, I'm telling you. I finally couldn't stand it any longer. I just had to get up there and interrupt him and preach with him. But now he and I have been doing that for 40 years. So we're right at home on one another's platform. In Psalm 5. Verse 7, "But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy, and in the fear, and in your fear I will worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in my righteousness, because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. There is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue." Now, he's talking about somebody else. He's talking about people that actually are under the curse. They don't have to be, but they are. Yeah. Now, come down there and look at that 12th verse. "For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, will you compass him with a shield." What about the sixth chapter of Ephesians talking about the full armor of God? Above all, taking the shield of faith. And we know from studying the scripture that the full armor of God is an encompassing armor. Called encompassing. It's like a bow. Go to the book of Job. Glory. Praise God. I want us to look right there in the first chapter of Job. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now, first of all, let's go back over here before we do that. Let's find out something about Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men in the East. Now, verse 7. The Lord said to Satan, "Where'd you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, Now why was Satan in a position to be so bold before God? How could he go and come like he can't do it now? How come he could then? He had Adam's authority. Adam gave it to him. He said to Jesus, Satan said to Jesus, "Bow down before me, and I will give you all of the glory of these kingdoms, for they are mine. They have been given unto me, and I will give them to whomsoever I will." Adam bowed his knee, committed high treason. He stole from God. Now, Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." That was the blessing wall. It was that blessing dome. It was what had happened at Goshen, that the flies couldn't get in there. The death couldn't get in there. There was a wall of separation between the law of sin and death, the curse, yes, that's right, and the blessing of Abraham. Right. Oh, dear Lord. Amen.
Come on.
Glory to God. He tried to get God to put his hand on him. But he, you know, Satan had to learn the hard way that you can't curse what God's already blessed.
Come on.
And God said, "No, I'm not putting my hand on him. He's in your power." God didn't turn him over to the devil. He was already there. Amen. Through doubt and unbelief and fear, that fear of the curse. He said, "If you touch what he has, you get his goods. He'll curse you to your face." The only way Satan has of doing this is to get it on people's minds. Now, this is the only sin in the book of Job. This is the only thing Satan charged Job with. And he charged him before God, "He'll curse you to your face." Now, what opened this thing up so? What tore that wall down? How did Satan finally penetrate that? He was so hacked off about that blessing wall, he couldn't penetrate the thing. Why did he want in there in the first place? He want the man's money.
Yeah.
He's the richest man in the East. Yeah. He was a healing preacher.
Yeah.
And he had money, and Satan wanted it. He wanted his influence. Here was this domed off area. Here's this ranch and all these people and all this goods and all this money. And he's the richest man in the East. And he's got this big dome over it. And he can't get in there. He's got this one spot that's just driving him nuts. He's got everything else. But he wants that. He wants what you have. He don't want you having that. He'll belittle you, browbeat you any way he can to get you to give it up. He can't take it away from you. He doesn't have the power. He doesn't have what it takes. And you've got the name of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb. And the full armor of God and a shield that covers on all sides. Next time he comes running up at you, get that sword in your hand. Start reading blessing scriptures to him. In the name of Jesus. And he starts talking to you about, you ain't going to make it this time. You're going to die. They're going to talk ugly about you. Start reminding him of his future. He doesn't have any, man. He is done. He is whipped. You can ship his saddle home. He is finished. Satan stripped him of everything he ever had and left him groveling in the dirt. Laying around crying, squalling, and bawling about what people think about you. Get up from there and put your armor on. I got up one night. I just about had all of him I was going to take. My son, John, was just a little fella. And we were on a meeting up in Panhandle of Texas. And he had something wrong with his skin. It felt like kind of like crepe paper, and it had turned red, and any kind of light had just set him on fire. And I'd laid hands on him, Gloria and I both had, anointed him with oil, and he'd get all right. And then the next day or two, he'd be sick again. Well, this went back and forth several days, and I went before the Lord, Gloria and I both did, and I said, we're missing it here somewhere. I'm getting into unbelief here somehow. And I need you to help me. I need you to show me what's going on. He said, well, you turn him over to me and then you take him back. I said, how am I doing that? And he said, well, you go in there and check on him in the middle of the night two or three times. He said, you roll all the care of it over on me and you lay hands on him. And then you go in there to check about him. To see if he's all right. Well, Brother Copeland, what's wrong with that? I'm going to show you right here in Job in a minute what's wrong with that. I believe God when I prayed, but before the night's over, I'm looking and seeing and feeling and listening and all that kind of thing. Got out of my faith and got back over in the natural. See if he's healed. Feel of him. Make sure his cover's not kicked up. Does he have any fever? You have to look and feel and see if God's word's true. If you do, you ain't walking by faith, you're walking by sight. So, I said, I'm not doing that anymore. So I went in there and laid hands on him and went on to bed. Sure enough, I woke up middle of the night. And before I even thought, I swung out of the bed, I'm going to go check on John. And I caught myself. I woke up good. And I said, nah, I ain't going in there. I turned him over to the Lord before I went to sleep. Now, man, all of a sudden, I got this guilty rush all over me. All of a sudden, I'm an irresponsible parent, and all this mess is hitting me in the face. At least you could go check and see if his covers come off.
Come on.
I said, let that angel put it back on him. He's in there in charge. Brother Copeland, I don't see how you could do that to a little five-year-old boy. Well, it's better than killing him.
That's right.
There you go.
Do you believe this book, or are you just playing with it?
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's time.
Yes, sir. I didn't say it's easy. If it's easy, everybody'd do it.
That's right.
But by this time, I'm waked up good. And I said, no, I ain't going back in there. And Gloria was asleep, so I walked out of the room, got in the other room in there, keeping waking her up. We were staying in this little apartment while this meeting was going. Meeting went on for about 3 weeks, two services a day. So I went in there, and I went back to the scripture and read that. Got back over on the Word of God. And then all of a sudden, I tell you, I'd had all him I wanted. I said, Satan, the Word of God says very plainly, I resist you, you flee. And I said, you consider yourself resisted right now. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I started quoting scripture. I quoted all of them I could get stirred up in me. I quoted some I didn't know I knew. But they were coming out of my spirit. And I ran out of them. And so I went over to the 8th chapter of Romans. And I heard the word of the Lord on the inside. Said, he's gone. I said, no, you not either. You get yourself right back in here. I'm not done with you yet. And started in on him with the 8th chapter of Romans. And just read him the whole thing. All the way down to the bottom that says, we more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. And just walked around the room in the name of Jesus. Praying in the Spirit. Never did go look at John. Went on to bed. Well, the next morning I woke up and had my service over there ahead of doing so. I got dressed and went on over to the service. And I just finishing up morning service. And back then in those days, that whole building wasn't whole of people in there. About half this. And it was about half full. And so, I mean, we could get right down and talk to one another. And most of the time back in those days, I'd go for about an hour and then open it up for questions and let people ask questions. Whoa, we got in some just dynamite stuff. And then we were doing that, and I felt this tug on my coat. And I turned around, and it was John. He said, Daddy, I said, hang on a minute, John. I'm a little bit busy right here. I'll be with you just a minute, son. And I turned back around, Daddy, and he jerked my coat again. I said, son, what is it? I said, Daddy, I've got a service I'm finishing up here. I said, I'll be with you in just a minute. And I turned back around. He yanked my coat. He said, Daddy, look at me. I'm healed. Now, look in the second chapter of Job right there. We know he's got this dome over him, right? Over all everything he had. Look up there at the top of that first chapter, and then we'll go to the second chapter. Job sent and sanctified his children, rose up early in the morning, offered burnt sacrifices according to the number of them all. For Job said, Job said, it may be my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Satan is feeding this into his mind. He's trying to get him to do it. This Job did continually, over and over and over. What? He's sacrificing in fear. He's sacrificing afraid his sons are going to curse God. And he's going over and over and over. He's the one that broke down the wall. He's the one that got access for Satan. Satan told God, you put your hand on him. God said, No, he's mine, and I don't do that. So Satan attacked him. Come down in the second chapter, verse 25. The thing which I greatly feared has come on me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. He thought he was being a responsible parent. I mean, this guy's sacrificing all night long. He's praying all night long. He's walking the floor saying, oh my God, they're going to curse God. They're going to curse God. They're going to curse God. He's tearing up more than he can fix. Now, what happened in this deal? What got all of those kids killed? What opened the door to such devastation in this? What Job was doing? Job got into a place where Satan had access to his thinking But he wouldn't go for that cursed gun. He wouldn't do it. But who did? His wife. She said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And I read that one then. I said, "Oh, Lord, I never noticed this." She did it in her heart.
Yeah.
She did it in her heart. And man, Satan ran rampant in that household. Death hit that place. So what did God do? Well, here come his buddies over, you know, to help him out with this cursing business and all that. But there was a young man in there that kept his mouth shut, and he kept his mouth shut until he had heard all that unbelief he was going to hear. And he said, "Because you're my elders, I hadn't said anything. But this has come to an end." And he started preaching faith. He started preaching the word of God to this man and got him stirred back up. And the power of God hit that place. And when it did, God manifested himself in that whirlwind. And he came to those guys and said, "You boys have spoken wrongly about me." And then he said, "My servant Job might make a sacrifice in your body." He might. "You better pray he does." And Job did. He made one sacrifice in faith. And the covenant promise, "For your shame you shall receive double," came into action. Satan had tried to shame him out of everything he had. And that blessing wall went up twice what it was. He got twice everything back. He got a bigger family than he had ever had, praise God, and lived a long time inside that blessing dome. Hallelujah. That's powerful, isn't it? It'll work in the penitentiary. It'll work anywhere on the face of this earth that somebody will stir up enough faith to hold God to his promises. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, we're going to close with this. Now, this looks like that we're going in a different area here, but we're not. Go with me now over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And let's look in the 8th chapter. Now, the Apostle Paul is talking about an offering. He's talking about a blessing offering. Verse 6, "Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also." All of this has to do with the blessing of Abraham through Jesus on the Gentiles. We're the grace crowd.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're the seed of Abraham by the grace and mercy of God through the shed blood of Jesus, our Lamb. Hallelujah. Are you still with me now?
Yeah.
All right. Now follow this. Now he said, "You abound in faith, utterance, knowledge, diligence, and in your love to us," or your love for the ministry, love for your man of God. "See that you abound in this grace also." This is obviously something they didn't even know about. Here's a grace they hadn't heard of. Now, once you see what he said, you'll understand why we haven't gotten away from our subject at all. We're still talking about the wall of separation between the curse and the blessing. Amen. Now, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he was made a curse for us. He redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed to everyone that hangeth on a tree. Huh? Poverty is part of that curse. It's not part of the blessing. The blessing don't make poor. The blessing makes rich. I've been poor. Rich is better. I've been in there, and I'm not going in there again. Now look. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich.
Come on.
The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he adds no
sorrow
with it. Now he said, here's a grace that until now you didn't even know anything about. So, he's talking to them now about a wall between them and poverty.
Amen.
Yeah. You see that? The redemption. He's redeemed us from the curse. So he's redeemed us from the curse of poverty. You get over there in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy where the curse is listed and you'll find it there. All over the place. It's a curse. Well, we're blessed. And that action is right there. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. He bore that poverty so that you through his poverty might be rich. Now then, let's go on over here to the 9th chapter. Verse 6, this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, you have to understand, he's still talking about this grace. Now, they were, man, I mean, they were abounding in faith, utterance, knowledge, love for the ministry. He wrote them a letter over there in 1 Corinthians, and it got that bunch straightened out. And I mean, they were after it now. They were abounding in faith, abounding in utterance, abounding in knowledge, abounding in their love for one another and for the ministry. But he said, all right, now, here's a grace you don't know anything about, and you need to develop in this. You need to be abounding in this.
Yes.
Well, what does the word abound mean? Overwhelmingly more than enough. Extreme. They started accusing me of being an extremist. And I was guilty. I still am. I believe this. I walk in it, act on it, live it, expect it. And I do everything I can find in it to do, to abound in it. Now, again, he which sows sparingly, reaps sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man. Who is the every man in 7? That's the he in verse 6. He which sows sparingly. He which sows bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound towards you.
That's right.
All of it. Grace you don't even know anything about, brother.
Right.
Not just those handful. All grace. Say all grace.
All grace.
Ooh, wonder what that might be. drawn towards you. Why? What's the purpose in it? It's right there. So that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As long as the economy is all right.
No,
especially when the economy is not all right.
Amen.
We're the answer to bad economy. God is the answer. He is the source. We're the channels.
Amen.
God, who is the source, is able to make all grace abound toward you. So what are we talking about when we're talking about grace? We're talking about that wall. We are talking about God treating us like we never had sinned. I mean, man, by the blood of Jesus, when you do sin, repent. Confess the thing. Release your faith. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Get up from there and forgive somebody. Hallelujah. Get over in the love of God. And put His words in your mouth. And begin to walk and praise and worship God. Hallelujah. You may abound to every good work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, 1 Peter 5. Excuse me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. Now, what is humility? Well, we're about to find out, and it's not what you think it is. Humility is not talking ugly about yourself. It's not running yourself down, debasing yourself. Well, you know, I'm just so unworthy. I'm just so no good. Who told you that? Well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You can't be both. You're either an old sinner or you've been saved by grace. Now, if you're saved by grace, then you're not some old ugly nothing crawling around in the dirt. You're a born-again, word-bought, word-born child of the living God. The blessing of Abraham is in and on you. That's not humility. You find out right here what it is because he's about to tell you. God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you in due time. It isn't that he don't want you exalted, but he don't want you exalting you.
Amen.
You can't exalt you without getting out from under that blessing. You can't exalt you without getting selfish. You can't exalt you and live in faith at the same time. You start exalting you and you've broken the grace. Boundaries. Grace and mercy. Amen. Giving thanksgiving to our God who always causes us to triumph. So, what does he say? What is humility? Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. So, what is your care? What is your care? Well, my care is this meeting. My care is this ministry. My care that night was John. And his healing, I care very much for my children and my family. I care for them. But I was messing him up, carrying that care. Now look at that. Casting all your care over on Him, for He cares for you. Now, doesn't that mean that if you cast your care over on Him, He's going to take it?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Then that makes Him the care taker. When you say, Jesus, I'm telling you right now, this job situation is my care, and I'm coming out from under it. You're God, I'm not. I'm blessed.
Amen.
And you're able to make all grace abound toward me, and I'm not carrying the care of this thing. I'm not touching it in my thought life. I am not touching this thing in fear. I am not going to touch it. I'm rolling all the care over on you. And stop and listen real quietly, because you will hear Him say, I will take care of it.
Amen.
Now what have you done? You have humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God. You weren't created to carry care. You're not a burden. You're not a beast of burden. You weren't created to do that. You're in the image of God. In no time were you supposed to have a pile of care on your back. You remember what Jesus, He reamed those Pharisees out for that. He said, you put care on these people and you load them up. And then later He said, these are the ones that are sown among thorns, such as the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches entering in chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. Didn't say riches, said the deceitfulness of it. That's making money your God. Instead of walking in the blessing. It's deceitful. Deceitful stuff. Well, if I just had more money, everything would be all right. No, it wouldn't. No. There's always something else. But if He's your shepherd, I do not want. I don't want. I said, I don't want. I don't have the driving. I got to get this on the inside of me. Why? It was my care. And I rolled it over on Him. And He's exalting me about it. We're not quite done yet. Now look at this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Well, bless God, I'm not one of the whoms that he can. I'm not going for that. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace. Oh, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered, or after you have resisted the devil for a while. What are you doing? You're fighting the good fight of faith. You're standing on the Word of God. You don't carry care, praise God. You roll that care over on Him. And you are shouting the victory whether it looks like it or not.
Amen.
And people will come up to you and say, don't you care? No! I rolled all my care over on Him. He cares for me, and I am here to obey. I am here to go bless. I don't have a care. I don't have a care over that debt. I spoke to the mountain of that debt and cast it into the sea. And I'm walking in praise and thanksgiving. Continuing to make my wants known to God through thanksgiving and praise, not through anxiety. Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And your mind starts to play and go, oh, God, yeah, but what if you... Shut up that yeah, but. Get your yeah, but out of the way. Stop it. Stop that. I don't know whether I can or not, brother. Don't you come at me with that. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Yes, you can. Oh, yeah, you can do your part, which is to roll the care and cast down those imaginations and bring every thought into obedience of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, I don't have a care. I tell you, this ministry got $6 million behind on TV bills, and it was just running me up the wall. I'd just be going along, and suddenly I'd be thinking about that. $6 million. Well, when your TV bill's $1.5 million, $2 million a month, you don't have to get behind but about 8 minutes. Boy, you got to do some loud guitar picking to get past that. You know, and it starts mounting. You get it out of phase, and I had gotten the care of it in my eyes. I didn't realize it. I told the Lord, I said, I'm going to sell some of this ministry property and pay this thing off. He said, what are you going to sell next month? Well, I'm out of line here. And it's just grinding on me. We had a board meeting coming up. Pastor George was at that time executive director of the ministry. And we were to go in that board meeting the next day. And all the different department heads would turn in their stuff to George. And then George would get up and give the report. And then I have to come and follow this thing up. And I got to go through each one of the departments. I didn't want to go in there. I waited until after midnight that night to even read that report. Because I don't go in there the next day and tell that board of directors what a lousy job I've done in this. And this ministry is $6 million behind. And here I am preaching out of debt and all that. Well, I sure didn't borrow the money.
Amen.
It just come on me. It just started getting behind and those bills started stacking up. Of course, I know that ain't never happened to you. But, man, I would just stop. I'd be praying. I'd be reading the Word. And all of a sudden, I'd catch myself thinking about that multi-million dollar bill. What are we going to do? How are we going to get this thing out of here? So I finally went in there about 1 o'clock in the morning, sat down in my study and got all those reports out. I don't want to wade through all these different departments. And so I started out and, well, here's the prayer department and here's all the different departments. I'm going through the book. And they're all saying things like, this is the greatest year we've ever had. This thing is just wonderful. We had a marvelous year and I didn't know it. Till I got over there at the TV department. Man, $6 million here. And I said, Gloria, she'd already gone to bed. I hollered and I said, hey, get up, come in here, you got to see this. She came in there, she said, what? I said, Gloria, we've had the greatest year we've ever had. And I didn't even know it. So we got all those reports out. I said, look at this. She said, glory to God. And we were just rejoicing about this and went through all the departments and got over there on the TV department. And the word of the Lord came to both of us. And I spoke it out. The Lord said, now see, every department was in the black, had a great year. The anointing was on every department except the one you were trying to carry. Man, it hit me. I saw it. I saw what I'd done. I knew better than to do this, but it snuck in there on me a little at a time, and I did everything but what I should have done. And I looked at her. I said, we're going to have to get out of the care of this thing because it's not going to do anything but just get bigger until we do. Why? Because, actually, my trying to carry the care of this thing is pride. Why? Because the Word of God said, don't do it. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care over on Him for all of it. Amplified translation says, once and for all time.
Yeah.
So I said, we're going to get out of this right now. And Chloe and I caught hands, and we rolled a care of this whole thing over on God. And about 20 seconds later, I'm thinking about it again. I got in the habit of it. It's a mental habit. And I'm meditating on it. That's just worry by another name. And I said, no. You don't come into my mind. I cast you down, imagination. I cast that thought down. I'm not touching that with my thought life anymore. I had to do it every few seconds. It would get in there and I didn't know where it came from. But I just kept on. Just kept on. Every moment or two, I kept reading these scriptures. I went back over there to 2 Corinthians 7, 8, and 9. I just kept reading them, just kept sowing seed, kept tithing, kept believing God. Went over there that morning, and I didn't give a report on the board meeting. I preached on 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. And man, all our board members, we got a whole board of faith people. Man, I mean, they grabbed hold of that thing and we're believing God and we're speaking to that $6 million debt and every demon of hell that had anything to do with it. And I had to stand guard on this thing now, casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, or the anointing, or the grace of God. Why? I had allowed lack to penetrate my armor through my mind. After about 2 weeks of that, I wasn't thinking about it as much. Once in a while. No, you're not putting that in my mind. I don't have that care. I wrote that care over on the Lord. Let me show you something here. You say, Brother Copeland, could I see your preaching notebook? I don't have it. I didn't say there wasn't one. I don't have it. I cast it over on him. Now, the devil won't come talk to you about that care. He won't come talk to you about that debt. He wants to talk to you about the pain, about the sickness, about the disease, about the marriage, about the job, about the economy. Don't talk to him about it. Say, no. I have cast that over on Jesus. Now, if you're going to talk to somebody, go talk to him. I am resisting you. Get out of my face. Get out of my life with that. You're not getting in my mind on it. I won't allow you in there. You're not coming. No, sir. Now, you notice how quick he handed me that back? It's mine. You go to the Lord and start worrying around, he'll just give it right back to you, too. You made that mess. And if you want to carry it, you can. But it's against his word if you do. You cast it over on him, and don't go back and pick it up. Don't get on there and get in your face, oh, I got to have that money for that bill. Oh, God, help me. Oh, shut up, Job. Get up from there. The devil comes around and you can just tell him, look, I don't have a care. I don't care. I have rolled my care over on Jesus. There's some guys came into Smith Wigglesworth one time. They'd having a big meeting. Man, what a man of faith. And then they walked in there and they had a whole stack of bills that had been incurred over this meeting. And they handed them to him and said, what are you going to do with that? Well, they handed it over to him, and they didn't understand him at all. Well, he'd already prayed and rolled the care of it over on the Lord, but they didn't know anything about that. He said, oh, talk to God about that. Walked off. Bills on the building, man. He's talked to God about them. These are the guys that they didn't know what he's doing. But he wouldn't carry the care, and it wasn't but about 3 or 4 more days. All the money came in. He went in there and paid them. Hallelujah. That's the way the blessing works. And that's the way care works. And you just tell the devil, you have no idea how much I don't care. I refuse to touch the care. Don't talk to me about the care. If you want to talk to somebody about that care, go talk to my care. Taker. His name is Jesus, and the last time you talked to him, you got the slaps kicked out of you. But now, if you dumb enough to do it, you're going to talk to him about it. Man, I'm telling you, things start working, things start gathering up. They were ready all the time, but you kept it. You kept the communication broken because you kept carrying the care instead of rolling it over on him. What are we talking about here? Maintaining that blessing wall. Maintaining that wall, refusing to worry, refusing to carry it. Why? What do I care? I don't have a care. Now that's called being clothed with humility. I don't have a care. He is my Lord, He's my Savior, and He's my Melchizedek.
Yes, He is.
Well, did you get anything out of this tonight? Stand up and let's give the Lord some praise here. Say it out loud. I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm not cursed. I'm blessed.
I'm not cursed. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed coming in.
I'm blessed coming in.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed in the field.
I'm blessed in the field.
I'm blessed in the city.
I'm blessed in the city.
I'm blessed.
I'm a giver.
Not a taker. I'm not a borrower.
I'm blessed.
I don't have a care.
Greater is He that's in me
than he that's in the world.
I'm strong in the Lord.
In the power of His might.
Greater is He that's in me
than he that is in the world.
He's able to make all grace abound toward me.
I receive it.
I receive
the grace.
In Jesus' name,
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Yeah. I realized I read scriptures that God loved me, but I had my past in my mind and in my eyes so that I struggled with that. Oh, I could read it and say, oh, yes, amen. But then, man, condemnation to get in my way and all that. And then I read in the 17th chapter of John where Jesus said, to show them, Father, that you love them as much as you do me. He wasn't just talking about his disciples, because in the 20th verse, he said, Father, I don't pray for them alone, but for all of those that shall come to me and to you through their word. Well, either directly or indirectly, all of us came to Jesus through the writings and the prayers of the men that were in that room that night when he was praying. Amen. Those apostles. So he's praying for us. John 17:20. Show them that you love them as much as you do me. Well, the first time I said that, I'm telling you, my knees were shaking. But I said it anyway because it was in the book. And I said it again. And I said it again. God loves Kenneth. And he loves me just as much as he does Jesus. God loves me. God loves Kenneth. Ain't no way Jesus is going to lie to me. And he's sure not going to lie to God. He ain't going to lie to anybody, man. He said this praying. He prayed it, I receive it. He prayed it, I receive it. He prayed it, I receive it. Put it in my mouth and said it over and over. Until you haven't said God loves Kenneth till you've said it 500 times, I said it over and 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 over. God loves me. God loves Kenneth. God loves his family. God loves Gloria. I love Gloria. God loves me. Gloria loves me. We love one another. We love our children. We love God. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind and strength. I said it over and over and over and over and over and over and over till it exploded in reality in me.
I didn't realize it then that I was exercising 1 John 4:18, that perfected love casteth out fear. Man, it was getting rid of it. It was flushing it out of there. And it wasn't all that long until we became, Gloria and I became very bold in our faith. We didn't have any fear. Wasn't nothing to be afraid of. God loved me. Whoa, glory. Now I qualify to claim 1 John 5:18. Whosoever's born of God keepeth himself. Keepeth himself how? In love. That 1 John is about love. Keeps himself in love. And he sinneth not, and the wicked one touches him not. Why? Because there's a wall around him. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah! Glory, 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 glory. Come on up here, guys. Praise God. Lift your hand before the Lord. Lift it up there. Brother George, come. Yes, amen.
In Jeremiah, look at that. In Jeremiah, go ahead, David. We need this. We absolutely need this. Because there are some things up ahead that we aren't seeing right now. That we need to have this information and we need to know about that separation. In Jeremiah 17, it says this, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. He shall be like a heath," that word heath there is a stunted shrub, mm-hmm. a naked and destitute tree in the desert. He shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Verse
blessed.
7. Blessed is the man. That's us.
Yeah.
That's us.
That trusts in the Lord.
Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope and confidence the Lord is, for he shall be. Now, this is same condition,
same
different
condition.
Results.
Yeah.
He shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out her roots in the river, shall not see when the heat comes, but her leaf shall be green. That word green there means to thrive, to prosper and flourish, and shall not be careful, anxious or worried in the year of drought. And neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The cursed man had no fruit. This is the year of drought.
Yeah,
in the year of drought, the cursed man had no fruit, walked in fear, and did not see when good came. But in the year of drought, the blessed man produced, another translation says, produced fruit nonstop.
Wow.
Nonstop fruit. So in the year of drought, we, the blessed, thrive, flourish and prosper. Hallelujah!
We don't just survive.
We don't just survive.
We don't just survive.
No.
We thrive.
Yeah.
We thrive. That's what the blessing's for. Is so that we, when we thrive, then we can help those that are trying to survive. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God.
Praise God.
Glory to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Glory to God.
Lift your hand up toward heaven. Pray it out loud. Oh God in heaven.
Oh God.
I believe with all my heart.
I believe with all my heart.
Jesus has been raised from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I repent of sin. I repent of the past. I renounce it. I renounce the devil and everything he stands for. Come into my heart.
Fill
me with your Holy Spirit. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. Now, if you never prayed that before, I'm telling you right now, you just got translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Hallelujah. Praise God, man. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Come on up here.
Then sings my soul.